Sports.
Final hour on a Friday for this show, but by no means the final hour on this station for a Friday. We got a lot going on today. Craig and the crew with Light the Tower coming up. We'll hand the baton at 10 o'clock. Trey Elling wraps up the week with Shirts and Skins, RBKD, this afternoon. And, of course, tonight, 7 to 9, it's Friday Night Flex, our weekly high school football show, spearheaded by our man Snoop Daniel. Always a great one.
Are you expecting Chad Hastings to show up on Monday, or
I do expect
Chad Hastings. Does a vacation roll into another vacation, or does it end at some time?
I do expect to have Chad back on the midday show this Monday. Yeah, for sure.
Sweet.
I think his once-a-month bye week is come to an end.
That's right, new month coming up.
I don't think he has one on the calendar for September, so we're good.
Really? Everything's cool? Looks like a smooth month?
Longhorns do, though. Longhorns will take the week off between September 12th and September 26th.
It's really nice to hear the players, some of those players that you talked about for the Longhorns, and especially the running back, because everybody's always going to wonder, when you have a highly ranked running back that comes into your fold, is he really what they think he is, or do you just got to wait? And it sounds like this young guy right here that they have is the real deal. You know, he's going to press. He's going to press Keyonte Ingram. And I know what I'm going to get from the other guy. I just know after watching him play last year. He's going to push Roshan's going to push them both at all times.
Just in his work ethic alone. And that,
yes.
You know, you can watch the tape and you can tell Bijan Robinson's a special player. I mean, just Ricky Williams was a one tape guy. Mm-hmm. You know, watch one series and let's go get him. You know, Bijan Robinson was the national. He was the best running back one of the best running backs in the history of the state of Arizona, one of the best players in the nation. But the thing that you've heard from the folks around the program is that Bijan is
his maturity.
He's mature. I mean, he's Zach Evans, the kid that ended up at TCU, is like the opposite of Zach Evans, like huge talent. But Zach Evans became kind of bought into his press clippings early and
a little bit
took his senior year off and became a rock star and let it get to his head a little bit. It appears, which can happen for a young person. But Bijan is not that at all. The reports that he is just impressing everyone. He's great out of the backfield. He can catch and just ahead of the curve on the important things. Now, they haven't put pads on yet now. They had shells on the last couple days, helmets and shoulder pads. They're supposed to start hitting early next week or even this weekend with some padded practices. But you know that if you can get to where you're special at that position, things can change for the Longhorns pretty quickly because they've been – I mean, who's the best running back they've had in a while? I mean, Keyonte Ingram has had flashes of being a special player, games where he's really special, but not consistent enough.
And at Texas, it should be an every-year thing.
Yeah, it should be. I mean, I'm trying to think who was the kid that came when Tom Herman first got here, the Cal transfer that came in and helped.
He was the one who stabilized. He stabilized the team.
Which they needed, and you know, give Tom Herman credit.
That's right.
They needed that. Trey, what is his last name? Whatever. But either way, that kind of goes to where the running back position's been. And I, at the end of the day, I feel like it's kind of been all the positions at Texas outside of a couple where you've just – can you get
– But that can truly make a difference. You're right. That position can make a difference when you got a stud. Your blockers don't have to be great.
That's great, right? I mean,
no.
And the offensive line should be –
Trey Watson, that's right.
Trey Watson, yeah. The name. Thank you very much. I knew it was Trey and couldn't think of the last name.
Yeah. You don't have to be a great blocker for a great running back.
But Trey was good for them, right? Came in from Cal and stabilized the position and gave them some, you know, quality reps. But, you know, when you can get special in that spot, right, and the way you just laid it out as an old running backs coach, if this kid Bijan comes in – And, you know, I remember you telling our audience and me many times that you told your running backs when Ricky rolled in that, hey, he's better than you guys, just so you know.
Well, yeah. I've been around you guys. I know what you are.
And so if that's kind of the case with Bijan, and it appears to be that he's just a different cat, well, that pushes everybody. Right now, Roshan, who's not going to step down to any challenge, Keyonte Ingram probably needs to rise to some challenges here and say, okay.
He's talented enough. He has to rise. And if the injuries linger and he can't get on the field, once again, when you get a guy like this, the other guy can't make the club in the tub. You don't have time to spend looking around and wondering when you're going to get healthy. If you have a player like this, what you do is put the ball in his hands.
Yeah.
A lot.
A lot. If he's that advanced and
mature.
Yeah,
put it in his hands a lot.
Don't worry about it. I mean, if he's that good, he's probably only going to be here for a few years. You know? But again, with three good players, you don't really have to ride him. You don't need to be a 30-touch-a-game guy, but could be if you needed him to. But you can split those carries. You also have Jordan Whittington. You've also got pieces. And as I mentioned earlier, the video that's gone all over Longhorn land the last couple 24 hours is this throw and catch from Sam Ellinger to a young wide receiver named Troy O'Meary out of the Houston area. A really talented player. Tall, 6'3", 6'4", long arms, making a stretch-out catch that gets Longhorn fans excited because they need that receiver to help replace Colin Johnson and be that, you know, outside receiver. Brennan Eagles is supposed to be that guy with Jake Smith, Jordan Whittington kind of in the slot. Marcus Washington is a guy you're going to hear about. Joshua Moore, who missed most of last year or all of last year with that gun charge. They've got people out there, but it's going to start with that running game. And with Sam, and by the way, if you have a really talented running back next to Sam Ellinger, because last year everybody was worried about Sam more than anything else.
Sure.
You go into the game knowing I got to stop 11, can't let him run the football. All of a sudden you've got a dynamic, really dynamic running back next to him, changes the equation and helps open up everything. And Mike Yurcich has said, we have a system, but our job is to create mismatches with our best players and get them in space and get them the football.
Yeah. Someone said there's a video of Bishan trying to block, and he struggles with the blocking stuff right now.
Sure.
Even with shadow stuff and things like that. That needs to be on your running back coach. If he's an athlete coach, you need to coach him up on that, because if he's a willing running back, he needs to be a willing blocker too. That's got to be a part of being an all-around guy.
But you know this, those great players in high school aren't asked to block very often.
No, they're asked to just tote the rock.
Right.
That's what they're asked
to
do.
So when they get here, then now you got to learn to block, young man.
Absolutely.
And stick your nose in there.
And it shouldn't take that long.
And let's hope this isn't shades of Cedric Benson.
Don't want to hear about it. Don't want to hear that, well, you know why he wasn't in the game? Because he couldn't pass protect. Well, you know why you got a running back coach and you pay him? The kind of money you pay him is to teach him how to block.
Well, you know what's funny about that? Last hour we were talking about what makes up the championship DNA at every sport, right? You know, we talked about this all came from the Cleveland Browns discussion we had last hour because somebody asked about Baker Mayfield. Actually, Zay and Hot or Not asked about Odell Beckham Jr. if he'll have a great year, and I said it's going to fall on Baker Mayfield, which led us into the conversation of the instability in that entire Browns organization. But it also got to the conversation if you have stability at head coach and quarterback in the NFL, you got a chance, right? I mean, if you have a really good head coach who's stable, that is among the better coaches in the league, and you have a really good quarterback, you've got a chance each year to win your division, be in the tournament, and be in the playoffs. You think of Pete Carroll, right?
Yes.
Really good coach. Russell Wilson's the quarterback. No matter what the pieces around him.
No matter what the pieces are, yes.
It's going to be guys in, guys out, and now they bring Jamal Adams in. They're going to be good. You feel like Kyle Shanahan with Jimmy Garoppolo. However, Jimmy Garoppolo's not a great quarterback. He's a really good quarterback, though. So you put those two together, they're going to be good each year, especially if they put the defense on the field like they've got. Belichick and Brady forever. Reed and Mahomes in Kansas City seem like at a different level. And then, John Harbaugh and Lamar Jackson. I mean, those guys, as long as they're together, that's going to be a tough team. Houston thinks with Deshaun Watson and Bill O'Brien they've got something. Bill O'Brien still has a ways to go. The Cowboys hope that it's Dak and Mike McCarthy now that they've finally gotten the right coach for their quarterback. We'll find out this year. So the NFL, it's quarterback and coach. In basketball, we talked about the three superstars, right? Two superstars, and then can you have a third all-star? And gosh, if you get to a fourth, you're a dynasty. Baseball, pitching, and the whole thing, right? Well, you take it to college football. It's all about the head football coach. Am I wrong on this?
Well, I think he's the guy who really spins it all. He's the guy that puts everybody into place because he has to make decisions on if that guy hires the wrong offensive coordinator, you're screwed.
Well, in history backs up that statement, right? We talk about dynasties in basketball, pro football, baseball, pitching wins. I mean, you got to have pitching and you got to have a deep farm system, in my opinion. Manager, he's got to be, he helps, but without those things, you don't have it. And it's kind of like the point would be, if you don't have one of the key pieces, you're not even in the conversation. Whereas in the NFL, you can have a great coach and no quarterback, no chance. And, good quarterback and no coach, no chance, right? You got to have both. And so when I look at college football, to me, it centers completely around the head coach. He's the boss of the program. He's the CEO of the program. And this is a conversation we've had, and I bring it back to something you and I have debated, that for the fan bases of the Texas Longhorns and the Texas A&M Aggies, this is kind of a show us year. Are you a championship coach? Are you a championship? Well, we're kind of going to find out what we've got here.
Right.
We know when Tom came in, there was a lot of excitement. When Jimbo got to Texas A&M, there's a lot of excitement, big contract. You kind of give, you're patient with some of the moves.
You an Alamo Bowl coach?
That's right. You're building the program. Jimbo's into year three. Tom's into year four. this is a year where it's not wrong for the fans and the observers to say, okay, let's see. Can this coach put a staff together and get the most out of the talent on the field to show that, okay, we're going to get to play in that ballpark the next 5 years because we have that coach, right? You knew it pretty quick with Nick Saban at Alabama for sure. You know, Ryan Day stepped in at Ohio State last year and said, you know what, let me just pick up where Urban Meyer was. Lincoln Riley's done it for Bob Stoops. Dabo Swinney took time but built his program into he's an elite-level coach. And let's not be skidding around the issue. Texas hired Tom Herman and A&M hired Jimbo Fisher to play in that neighborhood, to compete against those guys to play for championships.
Right.
That's the whole point.
Right.
And so this is a big step forward year for both because, you know, as we'll go through all through camp 29 days from now, it appears to me that Texas has enough good players and a really good quarterback that they should be right there with Oklahoma playing for the Big 12 championship this year. They should, if they're not.
One or two. I'm including Oklahoma State.
Okay.
One or two.
Well, you got to play at Stillwater and you play neutral with Oklahoma. Point being, I just feel like I don't want to say this will be the final impression of Tom Herman. It's just a really big year for Tom to show that when you hired him, there was a lot of excitement. He was the it coach.
Yeah, here's what you're used to, E. You're used to great coaches losing people on their staffs because they're going off to jobs, getting head coaching jobs. You're not used to coaches bringing in seven new coaches because you've made mistakes.
Yeah.
You know?
And, you know, there are examples of coaches who started, you know, have gone up and down. Somebody texted.
Yeah, Brian Kelly.
Yeah, Brian Kelly. And is the jury out on Brian Kelly? I think he's a great coach. I think Brian Kelly is an excellent coach, and maybe some of the limitations at Notre Dame still make it difficult as far as academics and
yes.
things. But let's be fair. When Jimbo Fisher was hired and Tom Herman was hired, the expectation was to compete with Dabo and Saban and Urban Meyer and those guys. And this is a year four for Tom Herman with a senior quarterback and four recruiting classes of his in the bag. He get to go out and really handpick a coaching staff of guys that he feels like can raise the level of the production and development of these players. It's a big year. So when I talk about DNA of championship teams, in college football, it's the head coach. It is the head coach. And I think we'll get to see this year in both A&M and here, are they going to get to play in that ballpark? Because there's a lot of extenuating circumstances this year.
I still believe that Texas has a better chance of playing in that ballpark than Texas A&M.
This year or long term?
This particular year.
Okay.
This particular year. A&M still plays in the SEC.
That's true.
I mean, no matter when you say, well, it could be a down year for LSU.
I guess point
who
being.
Who the hell knows?
If we get into this year and it's just to be a conference schedule, and Texas, you said it yesterday, Texas goes to Lubbock against second year Matt Wells and scuffles and for whatever reason loses that game. This should be a year when Texas doesn't lose to Texas Tech, even in Lubbock. They're building
or
a
TCU.
Program.
They don't go to
TCU. Comes here.
Yeah,
following
you don't
week.
Lose to TCU.
No, not at home.
No,
not in year four of the program. If you're a championship coach, not with a senior quarterback, with a bunch of
you'll be in a dogfight against Oklahoma State. But these other ones, the Kansas, you almost lose to Kansas last year. You shouldn't be even go to
discussion.
Kansas State at the end.
Iowa State's a home game
after they beat you.
Yeah, I mean that's the expectation, right? That you handle the teams you're supposed to,
right?
And then we'll see what happens in Dallas. We'll see what happens in Stillwater
sure.
on Halloween night. Those are the other two teams, and you know they're more established.
I mean, those teams are good.
They're really good. I mean, Oklahoma's got the best team in the conference for the past decade plus. And then you know Mike Gundy's been the second winningest coach in the conference this decade. And you're on the road on a Halloween night there. But I don't know. I just think there's a show us situation.
And you
here.
May be right. We could be making excuses for going on the road against Oklahoma State. You know, there just comes a time when you're supposed to beat. And this is the year. Your quarterback doesn't get to come back the following year.
No, he's gone.
He's gone.
Well, and gosh, Texas hadn't been to Stillwater in a while, right, by the quirks of the schedule. Well, let's see. Let's see if there's a because last year was a step back. There's no debate about that. The year before, you showed signs of maybe wanting to maybe playing in that neighborhood. Sam Ellinger with now the regrettable, you know, we're back at the Sugar Bowl. When they weren't, and
very
last
similar
year,
to your coach, a little immaturity going on.
Yeah, and that's it, right? So did Tom Herman learn from that? This is going to be a mature program this year. They've rallied around, you know, united around the social justice stuff.
The players, yeah.
What's going on campus there? Can you? Well, to me, the question mark is Tom Herman. The question mark is, can Tom Herman week to week lead this football team to their highest level? Can they? You know. Players got to play, but coaches have to coach. And I think that was a big part of last year's 7-5 was both had bad bad stretches.
He won't be. He'll still be the coach the following year. But the telltale will be this year, because if it doesn't get done, and you end up being the third place team behind Oklahoma, Oklahoma State, and then Texas, then you're possibly looking at an Alamo Bowl coach.
Well, if we take it right back to the beginning of this conversation, it's kind of like, for me, what Brown fans are going to be watching for with Baker Mayfield. You know, we'll kind of know this year. I mean, they've got a new coach. They've added pieces to the offensive line where they were weak.
And got a pretty good D.
The fans of the Browns will be able to come out of this season and say, okay, we've got our guy. We've got our guy. He's our guy. That's it. Mm-hmm. It was just one bad year. We hired the wrong coach or whatever, right? I feel like this year Texas fans will be able to say the same, because I think, Tom, it's a mixed bag right now. There's some that you really like. The recruiting's been excellent. I like the way he's handled this offseason, but, you know, the results week to week at Texas have not been up to standard and to where, you know, it was kind of thought that they would be by now. This year, I think Texas fans at the end of, provided we get to the end of the season
say this
year,
aren't
we'll
you
say,
gonna
okay,
always,
we got our guy, or
but aren't
not.
You going to always say at Texas, I like our recruiting? I mean, don't they always get just the best players? I mean, they're supposed to get the best players, right? No matter who your head coach is, aren't you supposed to get the best players when you're in Texas in this state?
I don't think Charlie Strong is a very good recruiter. Now, on defense he was, but offensively, disaster. I mean, outside of Colin Johnson and Sam Ellinger, who were legacies, who were coming here, you could have been coaching, I could have been coaching, Zay could have been coaching, those guys were coming.
Mm-hmm.
He did not recruit well on the offensive side of the ball. Colin Johnson,
That offensive line is
offensive
part of
line
the
recruiting's been poor, but it's about running backs. He kind of lucked into, you know, Deontay Foreman got here, and he was already here, and they recruited his brother more than Deontay, and
That's true.
Into a running back. It's just, especially on the offense, I think Charlie Strong is a really good defensive coach and understood defense and brought in some talented defensive players, but offensively, just horrible. Where would they be without the Sam Ellinger recruitment, which was kind of a crossover between Tom and Charlie, but again, Sam Ellinger was coming to Texas. That was not much of a recruitment. Colin Johnson and his brother Kirk were in that conversation too,
yeah.
And with their father is where they wanted to come. But which is why it's disappointing for Tom this year to not get the Brockermeyers, because that was kind of assumed. Okay, well,
you're
going to get the Brockermeyers,
right?
So can you get two other high end offensive linemen, and all of a sudden you've got one of the best offensive line classes you've ever had? But you didn't even get the Brockermeyers, so that's disappointing. Which, you know, puts pressure on Tom Herman to go win, because why did the Brockermeyers not come here? Because they went 7-5 a year ago.
By the way, there should be pressure at Texas to win and win a championship Texas.
In year four?
They really should in year four, yes.
No question. And I mean, and that's the, I guess, kind of the point is, why did the Brockermeyers not come? Tom Herman. But at the end of the day, I mean, Tom Herman, however you want to phrase that, they went 7-5 a year ago. Their brothers in the program got to see and hear about what was going on behind the scenes and what collapsed last year when they went 7-5. And, you know, that's on Tom. I mean, you have the front row seat to recruit two great young offensive linemen whose father is in your Hall of Honor, and you're a big part of the reason they didn't come here.
Yeah, there's a lot of mirror searching, man in the mirror stuff that had to be going on and still must be going on. And I know, but just cross your fingers that Tom Herman's looking in that mirror and ready to go, and he'll have his players ready to go too. It seems like they've been practicing a long time.
Well, for me, he seems like he's shown signs of being an excellent coach and a high-level coach. But he's also shown signs of immaturity. Too big for him.
It's just kind of week by week.
Yeah. Well,
it's
that's
been
maturity,
that way.
Right?
Yeah.
You can't get too high or get too low. I mean, and you've got to – and that's going to be the challenge. And that in college football, man, that's
– there's going to be a lot of panic moments in college football this year, whether it's in games, with the way things are going, with the pandemic – timeouts are going to be you're going to have people that are right on the money on everything. How you use your time, how you use your timeouts.
Game management
is going to be crucial in this, because I don't know, the officials, I mean, everything that's going on, shields and all that other kind of crap. How long is a timeout? How much time do we have? I mean, those things are going to be important. That can win or lose a ball game.
And we've
the way
seen
you time management this
Tom
year.
Herman's, I mean, for Charlie Strong, the in-game stuff
forget
is
about
a nightmare,
it.
Right? Well, Tom Herman's had his issues. I mean, there are games that are there to be won or lost that have been lost because, really, we gave up third
really?
And 18. We gave up third and 18. That really happened. I mean, we did. That was really, you know, play calling in those situations. I mean, I think of the Iowa State game a year ago that was, you were leading and all you need is a first down or two and go real conservative.
Your quarterback is going to have to take it on his shoulders when he's a senior and do an awful lot of work this year. And he should be able to.
All right, we'll take your thoughts on that. Is the pillars of championship teams, the Longhorns, do they have one at head coach? Becomes a big question. Same for the Aggies with Jimbo Fisher.
That's right.
With his senior quarterback in his third year. We're coming back. B&E with you. A lot of fun conversations on a Friday. Oh, man, we've had all kinds of good conversations this morning. Getting you into your weekend. A little college football. You saw where the Houston Texans are having their first padded practice today down in Houston. Bill O'Brien called it a big day, big moment. First in a while, the Cowboys will begin theirs coming up with high expectations in both places. I think the Cowboys and Texans are both feeling like they should be, Texans won the division a year ago, won a playoff game, and they expect to build on that. In the AFC, a very difficult AFC with Baltimore and Kansas City sitting atop the conference right now. Cowboys, we talk about that defensive line with the addition of Everson Griffin, Buck. I mean, they're deep, man. They're eight deep on the defensive line. That was my big question coming into the offseason of how do they address that when they lost so many free agents. But, man, they drafted Neville Gallimore, which, when we talked to Brian Broaddus about that, he's a big factor. He and Tristan Hill, last year's first pick, those guys have to be contributors because you have Gerald McCoy and Dontari Poe who are veterans. But if you can have these two young guys, first-year, second-year guys, as key rotation guys taking good snaps, you're solid in the middle, and now you've got Alden Smith and Everson Griffin on one end, Jamarcus Lawrence coming off the other. That's formidable. I mean, there's nothing to sneeze at.
I love the fact that you got Alden Smith, and that's just a bonus if that works out.
And he's got something to prove.
I would like to get paid.
But you know what the Everson Griffin signing does for me is that if Alden Smith doesn't pan out and he's still a head case, now you got a fringe Pro Bowler that okay. We got Tyrone Crawford and Everson Griffin. We're okay.
But does it scare you the fact that the Dallas Cowboys, when they went out, we talk about stability on that defensive line, but some of those cats are some older dudes. I mean, they've been really successful when they were young, but they're at that time right now, E, where they just have to be guys that provide some playing time so that the younger guys start to get better. That really can get in there.
Well, that's the healthy mix I like. I mean, Gerald McCoy's 10 years in, but he says he's still got a lot of football in him. But you can't ask him to play a whole game.
Right.
And Dontari Poe.
Same thing.
Same deal. He's, younger than McCoy.
But he's got a lot of wear and tear.
And he's bounced. But veterans who know the game, which I think as we've talked about a lot in this weird year.
True.
Veteran players who understand football and understand the ways of the NFL are going to be at a big advantage. And Your line now has veterans. I mean, you have two key veterans, and now you add Everson Griffin. You add, we got Demarcus Lawrence on the other side. And, Alden Smith, well, we'll see. But and so if you take those veterans that are, going to provide stability, and then, what if Neville Gallimore flashes and becomes a guy that you can use in pass rush situations? He's got the athletic ability. He's freaky.
But he's going to get a lot of one-on-ones with some of those other guys.
That's right. And what about, Tristan Hill? He looked like a bust last year, the guy they took with their first pick in the second round. But if he flashes, maybe learned a little bit between year one and year two.
Well, the only guy who's going to me, Ed, is going to make hay as the rookie of the year is the wide receiver for the Dallas Cowboys. If it's not a quarterback, if it's not Joe Burrow, if it's not Tua, that they have outstanding years because their teams are just no good, you know what I mean? Where you pick them as rookie of the year because they've done something but their teams stink. I'm picking the wide receiver. I'm picking your guy, your high school guy.
Yeah, being, Solomon High School, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm picking him as being the rookie of the year.
Sedarius.
I think Dak Prescott can fall in love with that guy.
Well, yeah, and then pick your poison on defense, right? I mean, because that's why I think, if the defense comes along for the Cowboys, and that's where I'm excited about their D-line, the offense, they're selling the 40-burger T-shirts up in Dallas because they feel like they have to score 40 points to win.
But, and they should.
Well, what if they don't? What if the defense is better? Now, the secondary, you still have concerns.
And I got lots of concerns back
there. Did Jerry miss the boat? Huh? No pun intended. Did Jerry miss the boat on Jamal Adams? Because, a team you're going to be competing with in the NFC at the highest levels is Seattle and San Francisco and Green Bay and, the teams we know, Philadelphia in your own division.
Is anything new back Orleans. There except for – Ha ha, Clinton Dix. I mean, is there anybody that's really back there that I can say that I would trust?
No.
It's the same guys. It's the same guys I saw the back of their numbers all year last year. That's not good.
And they're all free agents to be, which means they're playing for contracts. I mean, there's some
guys do well in that. Some guys don't.
And they also drafted the kid out of Alabama, Stephon Diggs' brother, Trevon Diggs. He is.
You don't expect him to come in and do anything as a rookie,
well,
though.
He better.
Uh-oh.
Because you lost Byron Jones in free agency. But what can help a leaky secondary is a pass rush. I mean, and the guys we're talking about with Mike Nolan now running the defense. Well, here's the other thing I like, because I just ran through the defensive guys, and your CeeDee Lamb as rookie of the year is certainly, he's got a chance to put up huge numbers because he's going to play opposite Amari Cooper. He's got Michael Gallup. They're going to be handing the ball to Zeke. He's going to get the third corner a lot of times.
Thank you.
A lot of times rookie hot shots come in and they're seeing the first corner. And then it's like, uh-oh, I got to learn how to beat the best corner. Well, now I'm getting the third corner. I can do that. I can handle their nickel guy. And so CD could have, with his run after catch abilities and his toughness and his ability to go across the middle, he scares the hell out of defenses because you know what Cooper is. But on defense, Buck, you know, they hired Mike Nolan to Jim Tom Sula, the great chief. Remember we used to have the Jim Tom Sula audio of the
week? Yes, we did.
Back when he was the head coach of the 49ers. Well, he's not a head coach. We know that for Jim Tom. But he's a good, really good defensive line coach, and he's got really good pieces to work with. But the thing that excites you about the Cowboys defense is Mike Nolan. Not only is he running the defense, he's also the linebackers coach. And wherever he's been, the linebacker core has had their best years. And last year in New Orleans, where he was with Sean Payton, that linebacker core, when he left, there were a lot of guys saying, man, that's the best coach I've ever played for.
Right.
That guy got me the most out of my ability. Well, if you get that out of Jalen Smith, Leighton Vander Esch, and whatever's left of Sean Lee, you're on top of that defense. Yes, your secondary is questionable, but if your front seven is wreaking havoc and they're making plays in the backfield, that helps your secondary. And the Cowboys have the pieces, in my mind, to be really good up front if Mike Nolan can get Leighton Vander Esch and Jalen Smith playing at a high level.
They have to, because this is not like college football. You can have those things, but in the NFL, if your secondary is really, really bad, because I believe the Dallas Cowboys secondary is really, really bad. I know those guys have contract years coming up, but I watched them play last year, and they were terrible.
They were not good.
And then you lose the best one back there.
Byron Jones.
And I like Clinton Dix. I think he's just one of those stable guys that knows where's the ball. He can go and get the ball. He'll make some interceptions if you make a mistake. But those guys at cornerback, it's the NFL. You still look over there, and you know they can go three-step drops and beat the crap out of those guys.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. If there's a pass rush that's disruptive, that – like, who's the best corner and safety? Who are the best secondary players for the 49ers, right? They've got good guys back there, but why are they so great on defense? They're so disruptive in the front end. I mean, that pass rush with Bosa.
That's a different world pass rush there.
Yeah, because I think the 49ers have some good players, but there are no household names back there. Guys that, you know, Richard Sherman, right? Richard Sherman is the best of their corners, but he's up there in years. And,
right.
But, you know, he's just heady, knows where to be, really smart. Still
like
a very good
Dix,
player.
It's like Clinton Ha-Ha Dix. That's that dude.
I don't put those guys in the same sentence. But what I'm saying is they're so disruptive at the point that I don't want to say the secondary doesn't matter because it does, but it really helps the secondary. Just like you talked about, a great running back can help the offensive line. They don't have to be the greatest of blockers. You know, you don't have to be the best cornerback or safety if your pass rush is ferocious like the 49ers were last year, like we've seen the Seahawks be at times. And now if you can get both, and I don't expect to, because that's going to be the weak link of the Cowboys. I mean, that is going to be,
sure,
if they're going to start the rookie Trevon Diggs out of Alabama opposite Chido Awuzie.
Uh-oh.
You're an offensive coordinator looking, okay, that's where we got to get. But we got to block them first, guys. We got to make sure we're taking care of business here. But yes, I mean, your starting secondary is Diggs, Awuzie, Clinton Dix,
but
and
as you said,
Xavier Woods.
40 burger, people are going to have to score a lot of points against the Cowboys this year, because I think they're scoring a bunch of points.
But I think that's kind of the point. They don't have to be the top five defense in the league. You know, if they're top 12 in defense with Mike Nolan and making plays and they're turning people over and forcing sacks, they're going to give up some plays. They're going to give up some points. But who's going to – I mean, the offense is going to score points. Like, it could be reminiscent of the Chiefs' defense, right? The Chiefs' offense is so good. It puts so much pressure on the opposing defense to try to score with them.
That's right.
I thought the Chiefs' defense got better and better and better as the year went on. And, you know, Honey Badger, outside of that, who are their household names in the back end? I mean, it was more about their pass rush. Remember when they signed Terrell Suggs? To go with Chris Jones in the middle there and Frank Clark, their great pass rusher. I mean, they became a really, really good defense to go with the great offense. That's what the Cowboys are trying to build.
And I the problem with that is the fact that because they scored so many points on offense, you had to drop back as an opposing team against them, and you had to try to keep up scoring with them. So you weren't going to try to run the ball against the Chiefs. You had to try to throw the ball. And with that pass rush, when they know you're going to throw, that's the way it is. Because you have to score a lot of points against the Chiefs.
And
the same thing is going to happen with the Cowboys. You're going to have to score a lot of points.
I think without question in football these days, pro football, I mean, it's a passing league. It's a passing game. So the team who have the ability to disrupt the pass rush or disrupt the passing game with a pass rush and exotics and forcing the issue are the better defenses. I mean, it used to be you had to stop the run, right? You have to stop the run in pro football or you have no chance. Yeah, you still have to be good at the point of attack, stop the run, but you've got to affect the quarterback because everything's built around him.
Yes,
whether you're knocking balls down, a la J.J. Watt, or in his face, hitting him, rattling him, sacking him. That's the ball game, man. That's the ball game. And so with the Cowboys, DeMarcus Lawrence, Everson Griffin, Aldon Smith, I mean, that's going to be the recipe for the Cowboys: get to the quarterback, affect the passing game, and let our offense, go up and down the field, because the Cowboys feel like their offensive line is going to protect their quarterback.
For sure. And just one other thing on that is the fact that I think the head coach himself is worth two games.
McCarthy?
Just him being on the sideline is two games.
With, again, I can't say enough about a veteran coaching staff. And the Cowboys are going to have some young guys, but you got five guys on that staff who have been head coaches,
yes,
including the head coach. I mean, that's a lot. I mean, rarely. I mean, Jim Tomsula was kind of a punchline, but he was a head coach in this league.
He was.
John Fossil, the new special teams coordinator, he was a head coach in this league on an interim level when Jeff Fisher was fired with the Rams.
Plus, they've been out there in a barn doing the barn things.
They've been doing the barn dance.
Yeah,
they've
been doing barn dance.
Mike Nolan's been a head coach in the National Football League. I mean, that's a lot of coaching experience with a really talented roster.
Oh, God, I'm so excited. I'm taking 11 games for the 12 games for the Cowboys to win this year. 12. Oh, a 12-pack.
That's just the facts. Hey, how many former head coaches did Jason Garrett have on his staff? I believe it was just one, right?
Yeah,
Rod Marinelli?
Rod Marinelli was the only one.
And a lot of people didn't think Jason Garrett should have been a head coach.
No.
Well, now you got Mike McCarthy with a decade of experience plus in Green Bay, a Super Bowl. Four other coaches who have been head coaches.
Keep it up, yeah. I got 13 wins for the Cowboys now. 13. 13 for Dallas.
We'll wait and see. They won 8 last year. That's a 5-game improvement. Not sure I believe that.
But the coach is worth 2. That's 10. That's a lot. 3 more.
Dak playing for that contract.
There's another one. Defensive line.
You know, whatever Dak Prescott says very diplomatically, which he's very good at, he wants to make Jerry Jones back up the Brinks truck.
Well, of course. Go ahead and do it. This is your chance. Again, a second time.
He wants to make that guy back it up.
He wants to make him say grace. That's what he wants him to do. You want to say grace? I'll make you say grace.
Hey, gracefully back up the
Everybody
Brinks
loves
truck.
This. We're hyping up the Cowboys now.
You're the one talking about wins and losses. I think they're be a better coach team. I see the reason for optimism. But again, Jerry Jones is still the owner, and they play in a very, very difficult conference where they might not even be the best team in their division because the Eagles are still really good. The Saints are excellent. The 49ers are a juggernaut. Seahawks, they're the ones that got Jamal Adams, so they feel really good about him in their back end now. They can be much improved, but still not the best team in the NFC. That's very obvious. All right, we'll be back. We will tee it up for the rest of the day and the weekend here on The Horn as we roll on. B&E with you.
The Horn's text line is brought to you by Specs. Specs Wine, Spirits, and Finer Foods. You're on the way. Less to pay. Everyday store. Cheers to savings. It's Bucky and Aaron.
Friday on The Horn, we'll hand the baton coming up to Light the Tower. Jeff Craigway and the crew. Jeff Howell will be back on Monday. Also got Shirts and Skins Through Your Midday, RBKD this afternoon. Snoop Daniel with Flex ATX coming up tonight, 7 to 9. All the high school football and high school sports covers. That's a really popular show and growing among the high schoolers out there and their parents. It's pretty fun. Snoop does an incredible job. Of course, tomorrow morning, live and local, we go Saturday and Sunday morning. Tomorrow it's playing through with Bob and Carl, the Big Ugly crew with Casey and the tailgate there, the High Ground with Colonel Flowers, Rodney Rodriguez with Revved Up ATX, and our buddy Tyler Campbell, TC Speaks, at high noon tomorrow. We're live and local on the weekends as well. I saw this. We were just talking about Cowboys football, Buck, and are you really up there at 13 wins? That's like Baltimore Ravens.
Okay, no, I'm going 12, to be realistic.
Chiefs.
I got a over the top of my skis there.
What
so
happens? You're, no,
12.
You're 20 years sober today.
That's right. 12. That's it. 12 is good. I'm good with that.
I like
After
it.
After 8 last year, they should win 4 more games. Yep.
12?
Not a problem. 12 games this year for the Dallas Cowboys winning.
I like it. Top stories this morning, we heard from Mark Emmert. He's the president of the NCAA, whatever the control they have at this point, but announcing yesterday that the competition for fall championships in the Division I level canceled, except for football, because the NCAA doesn't have any guidelines over FBS-level football. That's all run by the conferences. But there'll be no volleyball for the NCAA level, so no Final Four, no volleyball tournament. Men's water polo and field hockey, cross country, men's and women's soccer.
Tennis, the whole works, huh?
Tennis is a winter sport. Winter, spring. And the hope is they can, it's just, we're all crossing fingers. But we know that in the FBS level, you know, it's getting slimmer and slimmer. I mean, the ACC, the SEC, and the Big 12 are moving forward playing college football. But I saw where the Mountain West Conference shut it down yesterday. Several others.
I saw where the NCAA doctors, their experts said that we're like the Titanic and all we're waiting for is a time where we can tell the band to start playing.
No.
That's what they said. That's what the experts for the NCAA. You knew they were going to say that anyway. You knew they were going to go that direction.
The band to start playing?
Yeah. What time? The only thing that we have to worry about is when does the band start playing now?
Well, and at least they're practicing and Longhorns will have their first padded practices this weekend.
Get after it, boys.
Get after it. Be a year unlike any other. But that announcement came down. Spurs' run of 22 straight playoff appearances going for 23 came to an end. And they actually hit the floor last night knowing they couldn't make it. The game was meaningless. And that is a pretty remarkable stat that game, because the Spurs have been in the playoffs every year for 22 years, right?
So longer than I've been sober.
Longer than you've been sober. That is exactly. Older than two of my children. That game that they played last night in the bubble where they lost to Utah is the first game that lacked any significance since April of 1997. Like every other game they've played for the 22 years was either to improve their playoff position, make the playoffs, or in the playoffs. They did not play a game from April 1997 until last night in a game that didn't mean anything. Like last night's game was meaningless to their...
Be interesting to see if Pop comes out and says, you know, I'm now retiring. It's going to be a hard year for United States basketball, the men's team to go play all over the world. So this would be a great time for me. Would that make that young lady who's there, who's been there, the new head coach of the Spurs, are they grooming her to be?
Or Tim Duncan.
They're going to put Tim Duncan over her like right away and put Tim Duncan as the head coach? That's not fair. What about Title IX?
Becky Harmon?
Yeah, what about Becky Harmon?
Know. She's been the assistant. I think they're grooming TD. Like when Pop was out for a little while, who stalled in? Who filled in? It was TD.
Really? As a head coach? She's filled in before, hadn't she? And she filled in as a coach for them too when he's been out?
Yeah, I know she coached the summer league for sure, but this year it was Timmy.
I'm standing up for the ladies. That's bull.
Me too.
I'm standing up.
Me too. You get it? That's true.
Me too. Okay, I got it. But I was trying to get out of here without getting a show canceled here for Monday.
I just said me too. Isn't that the movement?
Yeah, that me too. I got
I'm
that
all
one.
For it. I'm with you.
Yeah,
me
standing
too.
Up,
that
standing
means
up.
I'm with you.
You're all stood up for him, huh?
I just think you asked the question. I think it would be Tim Duncan who would be great.
Listen, have a safe trip.
Yes.
Taking your daughter off. Tell her I said all blessings. Be careful out there in her first semester.
Yeah, that comes this weekend. That's going to be fun. I'll be... probably still in tears on Monday. So join us at 6 a.m. Isaiah Collier, great job as usual. Thank you to everybody. Buck, congratulations on 20 years.
Thank you very much. Thank you to all.
And have a good weekend. Stay hydrated, folks. It's going to be like historically hot. I know it's August and it's typically hot, but these are some of the hottest days we've had. So be smart, be safe, take it seriously, and we'll see you Monday. Have a great weekend. Remember, every hour podcast at hornfm.com.